The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's turn in the Bible this morning to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27, we will read the first 17 verses. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. A continual dropping in a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Thus far we read the divinely inspired, infallible, sacred scripture this morning. May God bless the reading of it to our hearts. The text for the sermon is verse 8, Proverbs 27, verse 8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, to wander is to go aimlessly, meandering here and there and this way and that way and every which way with no conscious intent. Or it is to stray from where one ought to be. The Bible doesn't have anything good to say about wandering, and you and I ought not wander. In only one instance does the Bible speak of wandering and not speak of it negatively, and that is when wandering is the necessary consequence of severe persecution for the name of Jesus Christ. We read of faithful believers in Hebrews 11, verses 37 and 38, that they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Unless we are wandering about in times of severe persecution, having no abiding place, the Bible condemns wandering. The Bible calls wandering a sin. Jeremiah 14, verse 10, "Thus saith the Lord unto this people, they have loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins." Jesus condemned wandering in his parable of the prodigal son, who, Luke 15, verse 13, took his journey into a far country. He left his home, he left his father, and he wandered off into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The Bible not only condemns wandering as a sin, but the Bible teaches that wandering is God's judgment upon sin. So that the very first judgment that God pronounced upon a man as the seed of the serpent was the severe judgment he pronounced upon Cain, Genesis 4, verse 12, "A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." A vagabond is a wanderer. God made Cain a wanderer. Furthermore, one of the darkest periods of Old Testament covenant history is a period that's identified as wandering, and that too because of God's judgment. Numbers 32, verse 13, "And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed." The Bible doesn't have anything good to say about wandering. Are you a wanderer? Spiritually, in the spirit, in our spirit, are we wanderers? Did you wander your way into the presence of the living God this morning? Is your Christian life hardly a Christian life because you are not settled and grounded and rooted, but wandering all over the place? We are all prone by nature to wander. And in very concrete ways, especially in our youth, we are prone to wander. Tomorrow morning, officially, the 2018 California Young Adults Retreat will begin. And this morning, I'm very conscious of the fact that there are many young adults in our worship service with us this morning. And I preach Proverbs 27, verse 8, in love for the young adults and with a care and concern for the young adults. This text is inspired of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof this morning. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction, that young men and women may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And if there's even one person here this morning who's wandering, just one, and God uses this word to settle, establish, ground, root, and strengthen you, then my heart will rejoice with exceeding great joy. The word of God before us this morning is a word of wisdom, and it expresses the folly of wandering, and the wise in heart will take this word to heart by the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 27, verse 8. This is our text. "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." Let's consider that text this morning under the theme, the folly of wandering. Considering first the wandering itself, second, the foolishness of it, and third, the answer to it. The answer, the remedy, the solution to wandering. Many, many, many different illustrations could be given of wandering this morning. God, through the inspired Solomon, will have us consider the bird. As a bird that wandereth from her nest. The believer has the insights of faith, and therefore he's able to look into the visible earthly creation and discern lessons and truths for his heavenly spiritual life, so that even as we can observe and learn wisdom from the industrious little ant as a positive example, so also we're able to observe and learn wisdom from a wandering bird as a negative example. God the Father made the birds. God carefully made a bird. And let's think for a moment of that small chirping bird called the swallow. I'm thinking especially now of Psalm 84, verse 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. God built right into the swallow the instincts to build a nest. And so the little swallow carefully builds a nest, let's say, under the overhang of the roof of Solomon's temple. That's her place. There she will produce her eggs and bring forth her young and care for her young. And there they will be safe from the fowler and the hawk and the fox. The swallow builds a nest. Now and again, she will, with careful, deliberate, calculated movements, leave the nest in order to go find food and then return back to the nest. But that's her place. And she's a very foolish bird if she wanders from her nest. If she wanders out into the open meadow to bounce around, or wanders into the woods to dance with a carefree spirit from limb to limb, or wanders out into the open air and takes flight meandering around, she's wandered. And that bird is the illustration that the inspired Solomon uses in the text. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. We can think of the place of a man, our place this morning, from five different points of view. First, God is our place. Is that not the grand and glorious reality of the covenant of grace established in Jesus Christ? That as the bird has a nest which is her home, so we have God. God is our place. God is our home. And when we are spiritually strong, we say, my heart is fixed, O God, fixed on Thee. And we say, God is the portion of my inheritance. And we say, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. And when we're strong, we say, my heart and flesh cry out for the living God. And when we are strong, we say of God's Christ, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we say again with Paul in the New Testament, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness, which is of God by faith. God is our refuge. God is our place. God is our nest. God is our refuge and strength. God is our hope and our joy and our confidence. To be with God, that is life. To commune with God in prayer, to know God through His Word, and to be found in Christ and having His righteousness is to be with God. God is our place, and a man wanders from his place. When his heart does not yearn for God, but he yearns for the world and for self, and when the portion of his inheritance is not God, but the pleasures of the flesh, and when through the day he has nary a thought of God, and is not in the Word of God, and is not communing with God in prayer, but seeking the attractions of this earthly life, he's wandered from God. And a man has wandered when he no longer sees himself as a sinner, desperately in need of Christ, but he relies upon himself, and he supposes that he's all right, because he measures himself not with respect to God's law, but with respect to other people, and supposes that he's not nearly as wicked as this one on the college campus or that one in the workplace. Therefore, I must be all right. He's wandered from God and God's Christ. So as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is the man who wandereth from God. Secondly, the life of the temple, or we would say today, the life of the church, God's house, that is our place. We love the church. We love the church because it is God's house. And there we are taught the truth, for the church is the pillar and the ground of truth in the world. And we love the fellowship of God's house with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But a man wanders from the life of the church when he wanders from the truth, from the peculiar heritage that has been passed down to him from the fathers in his own Protestant Reformed church, and he lets it go. When he leaves the theology of the Reformed confessions in order to experiment with and dabble in and pay respect unto theologies other than the theology of the absolute sovereignty of God in all of his decrees, in his creation of the universe, in his providential government of the universe, and in his covenant salvation of his elect people by faith in Christ Jesus. A man wanders with respect to the life of the church when he does not take membership in God's church seriously and never becomes a member of God's church, or prioritizes relationships with people above membership in God's church, or is perhaps on a yearly basis transferring membership from one church to another, bouncing all over the place, and therefore never getting to know a church family and never getting to be known by a church family and by ruling office bearers who are responsible for his soul. A man wanders with respect to life in the church when he comes to church Sunday morning drowsy and spiritually unprepared. His mind is wandering during the sermon and during the congregational prayer, and during the reading of Scripture, and even when he stands up to sing, the words are not penetrating into his heart because he's meandering all over. And a man wanders with respect to life in the church when he's the minister, and instead of giving an expository sermon which explains the words of the text, he goes outside of the text to preach some doctrine that doesn't arise out of the text, but is an imposition upon the text, or wanders out of the boundaries of the text in order to give political, economic, and sociological commentary on the issues of the day. He's wandered. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is the man that wanders with respect to the life of the temple, the church of God. Thirdly, God's law is our place, and there's safety within the boundaries of God's law. Psalm 119, verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. It's especially in the beginning of the book of Proverbs that the wise father Solomon takes his son, and he warns him never to stray from the commandments of God, particularly now with respect to the seventh commandment. Gives that lesson over and over again. When we are spiritually strong, then our heart is chaste and fixed on God. And even should sexual temptation suddenly arise, we will say with Joseph in Potiphar's house, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? But a man wanders from the seventh commandment. When he doesn't obey his father, and instead of going around her, he goes right past the flirtatious seductress at work. He wanders when he lets his eye, which is connected to his heart, gaze and even gaze longingly upon girls who are not his girlfriend, his fiance, his wife, her boyfriend, her fiance, her husband. There's a straight and narrow path that leads through social media platforms and various news outlets, but when a man wanders from the narrow path, he begins stumbling upon links and advertisements and suggestive comments and pictures that are going to take him very quickly out of the boundaries of the seventh commandment. And as the bird wanders from her nest, so the man wanders from God's good commandments. Fourth, the station in which God has put us for work is our place. For Solomon, his place was to rule as king and build the temple. For Father David before him, his place was to rule as king and take a sword and go fight as a warrior for the kingdom. As we prayerfully examine our abilities and our desires, and we take into consideration the providential outworkings of God all around us in our life, God leads us to the conviction of what our place in life is. Our station. God, by his providence, will lead each of us into a place, a station, a college, into studies for some major, into this job, into that career. And wherever we are there by God's providence. God puts us there. And there we will remain unless God, by his providence, makes it clear that we will be advantaged and the church will be advantaged and his name will be glorified if we make a transition from one place to another. And sometimes we do move around. We may move around. It's especially in our youth when we're seeking to be established somewhere that we do move around. We transfer from this college to that college, or we go to college, or we drop out of college, or we switch majors, or we get a new job, or we get another new job, or we take a new position within the company, moving. But it's not good to wander. Always meandering so that we never have a place. We never have a position. We never have a nest because we're always bouncing around from one thing to the next, usually with an ungrateful and discontent heart that is convinced it will always be better there and always be better over there and always be better over there. even if we are, for example, not so sure about college, but we sign up and we're going to give it a try and we go to class and we are less than enthused about our studies, that is our station at present. That's where God has put us. And so long as we are there, we may not have a wandering spirit that will not allow us to focus upon the task at hand, because while we are there, even if we're there only for one semester, we anticipate dropping out at the end of the semester, we're there at present, and God has put us there, and we must do our work to the best of our ability, heartily serving the Lord. It's not good to wander. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man who is always wandering from his place. Fifth and finally, our home and the life of it is our place. God gives us a home and He gives us a life in our home. And then He calls us to focus our attention upon our home and upon our life so that we're continually inspecting, scrutinizing, examining, and reforming our home and our life according to God. But it's not good when a bird or when a man is always wandering about as a nest inspector checking up on the nests of others. 1 Timothy 5 verse 13 chides young women who learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but busy bodies, speaking things which they ought not. The wandering of a busybody is not so much any longer a literal physical wandering through neighborhoods into this house, that house, and all the other houses, but it is especially an electronic wandering. People voluntarily open up their nests to all mankind through social media platforms like vlogs, in which a man videos his life and then he posts his video one after another online so that anyone who wants to can see his life, see his home. Now, of course, there's a time and a place for sharing pictures and videos with friends and family near and far. The internet is a wonderful tool and a wonderful way to connect with family and friends. But it can be an irresistible temptation for a man to become a wanderer and to leave his home, leave his calling, leave his place, leave his station, leave his life, and waste all of his time wandering about into the nest of another. Always inspecting his home, his life, his children, his vacation, his use of time, his commentary on issues of life, his money. He's always wandering. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wanders from his home and his life in his home. Wandering. God is our place. The life of the church is our place. Living in the law is our place. Living in the station in which God has put us is our place. Our home and the life of our home is our place. As a bird wandereth from her nest, so a man wandereth from his place. Foolishness. That's the main word. That's the whole point of the text. Foolishness. Wandering is foolishness. The text is a proverb, which means the text is either giving a positive expression of the wisdom of God, or the text is giving a negative expression of the folly of sin. What do we have in the text? The text is not a positive expression of the wisdom of God, and therefore do not read the text this way. As a bird wandereth from her nest. And what a virtuous thing to do. So a man wandereth from his place. And what a praiseworthy and virtuous thing to do. But read the text this way. As a bird wandereth from her nest. And what a foolish thing to do. So a man wandereth from his place, and what a foolish thing to do. Wandering is folly. That's the main point of the text. And wandering is so serious that God will have Solomon write a proverb to teach us, even using the illustration of a bird, that wandering is foolish. Why is wandering so foolish? Go back to the bird. The bird is our teacher. When the swallow wanders from her nest, on the one hand, she might potentially expose her nest to danger, but that's not really the point. That's not really the folly. Because of necessity, she will also leave her nest in order to go find food. The folly is not so much that she might expose her nest, but she exposes herself to danger and possibly even to destruction. For no sooner does the swallow wander from her nest than he got her. The fowler ensnared her. The hawk snatched her. The fox snagged her. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. God sees to it in his justice that when a man wanders from his place, he will wander into danger and even destruction. There's danger when we wander from God, who is our place. And I don't have to tell you that. You don't have to tell me that. We all know that from experience. When in our spirit, we wander away from God, who is our joy, and we begin setting our affections upon the things of this earthly life, we never feel satisfied. Never. We are always miserable and vulnerable to great temptation. When we wander away from God and His wisdom, and when we rely upon our wisdom, we always stumble into shame and humiliation. When we wander from God and His Word and prayer to Him and Christ, who is our righteousness, that's when we wander into doubt and fear and anxiety and sleepless nights and the torments of the devil. And the farther we wander from God, the closer we wander to Satan and to idolatry and the gates of hell. Oh God, spare us from wandering. There's danger when we wander from the life of God's church, which is our place. When a man wanders away from the heritage of God, which is the truth of God, he turns his back on God himself, and that's the beginning of a downward slide that will bring him into greater and greater expressions of error and deeper into worldliness, and even personally as a young man into apostasy and great apostasy in his generations. When a man wanders from the life of God's church, thinking that membership in God's church and attending the chief means of grace is bondage, there's no happiness, there's no liberty there, and so he wanders away from the church. He's like a little child who wanders away from father and mother in a very busy, dangerous place. And there are many demons out there who would be very happy to take him and draw him into his communion. And when a preacher wanders from his text again and again and again, he creates wandering ears in the hearers. And pretty soon the whole church is tossed to and fro and back and forth, never understanding what is the difference between the truth and the error? Wandering is foolishness. It brings danger and destruction. There's danger when we wander from God's law, which is our place. As Solomon taught his son, when you wander away from the seventh commandment of God, you will get burned. You will. My son, are you listening to me? You will get burned. The man who doesn't go around, but he walks right past the flirtatious seductress, he gets burned at work. The online wanderer who goes down trails on which he ought never to set his virtual foot, he gets ensnared. And he may even develop an addiction he can't control, an addiction for pornography, and an appetite he can't satisfy. And Satan drags his soul deeper and deeper into darkness. And apart from a miraculous, redeeming wonder of God's grace, that soul will end up in the fires of hell. Wandering, wandering, wandering is so foolish. Don't wander. Don't wander on the university campus as young people. You'll get sucked into networks of friendships that will contaminate your soul. And even with respect to the seventh commandment, there will be great danger and destruction for young men and women. When a young woman goes off to the university campus, she has a responsibility from God, a path of righteousness on which she must walk. But if she starts wandering and starts hanging out with the sons of men, and pretty soon she's riding in their cars, and she's going to their parties on the weekend, and she likes the attention and the flattery, and so she's dressing suggestively to lead them on. She's jeopardizing the purity of her soul, and whether she thinks she is or not, she is exposing herself to extreme danger. Do you know that there was once a daughter of the covenant, a daughter of Jacob named Dinah, who was victimized in a vile manner by Shechem, who defiled her? And you read that history and say, shame on you, Shechem. And then you say, and shame on you, Dinah. Genesis 34, verses 1 and 2. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Why was she defiled by that fox Shechem? Because Dinah wandered away from her nest, which was the covenant family of God, in order to go see the daughters of the land. She wandered from her nest. And she paid for it. Don't wander. Wandering is foolish. There's danger when we wander away from the station in which God has placed us for work. Of course, as we've noted, we may make transitions in our life and move from one place to another, but wandering is foolishness, because the man who's always wandering about, he never gets established anywhere, and he will never be comfortable in his life. God will see to that he's not comfortable. Furthermore, continual wandering indicates an ungrateful and a discontent heart. And wandering, though it promises to deliver so much, it'll never remove the ingratitude. It'll never remove the discontent spirit, but it only feeds it, so that a man, the more he wanders, the more his relationship with God deteriorates. But that wandering indicates a restless heart. It always wants to be here and there and everywhere else, somewhere else. It's always better somewhere else. The circumstances will be better. The conditions will be better. But the fact is, conditions and circumstances in new places never cause the heart to rest. Only God can cause a heart to rest. Wandering about is folly, and it makes one miserable. And finally, there's danger when we wander from our home and life as busybodies. Of course, we must bear one another's burdens and restore a brother who's been overtaken in a fault. And we have to look out and see the brothers and sisters in Christ whom God has placed around us. And if any one of them is wandering and going astray in love, we must be willing to speak to them and be an instrument in God's hand to restore them back to the way of life. But we will never be able to do that unless first we are focusing upon examining, scrutinizing, and reforming our own heart and life. When we wander from our home and life as busybodies, then we neglect our home and our life, and God sees to it. And that happens in the church. That happens. When one's always worrying about other people, getting his nose in their business, his home deteriorates. His life begins to fall apart. God sees to that. And furthermore, Paul warned Timothy regarding the women that those who wander from house to house invariably develop a wandering tongue of gossip, which then gets at the very fabric of the church, the relationships in the church, and starts destroying the church. Wandering is foolish. It exposes one to danger and destruction. But there is an answer. Let not your heart be troubled. There is an answer. There's a remedy. There's a solution to the folly of wandering. And the answer is the man, not Solomon. Not you, not me. As a bird wandereth from her nest, so a man is a man, like Solomon, who wandereth from his place. Not that man. Turn the text around. As a bird faithfully abides in her nest, so there is the man who faithfully abides in his place. And that was Solomon's son according to the flesh, our blessed Messiah, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He has so many names, but Wanderer is not one of them. Jesus Christ, He is the man who never wandered from God, but with a perfect heart He served the Lord, His God. Jesus Christ is the man who never wandered from the life, from the fellowship, from the truth of the church. But He is the truth. He is the basis of the fellowship of the church, the people of God with God and with each other. He is, through His death and resurrection, the builder of the church. Jesus Christ, He never wandered from any of the commandments of God, not even when He was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, not when He was tempted by the Pharisees in Jerusalem. He kept all the commandments perfectly from the heart. He's the man who never strayed from His station in which God had put Him for His work. He was the head and the mediator of the new and everlasting covenant of grace who has come to seek and to save that which was lost and which had wandered away from God. And that He did perfectly at the cost of His own life. Jesus Christ is the man who never strayed from His home and from His life to waste His time wandering about into other people's homes and gossiping and being a busybody. He came to give His life a ransom for many. He came to fulfill all righteousness. He came to use every second of His life to prepare Himself consciously for the moment when He would lay down His life as a perfect sacrifice unto God for sin. And Jesus Christ is God's man now, exalted at God's right hand, The throne of glory in heaven is his nest, is his place. And there he is preparing all things for the very end when he shall come again, raise the dead, and usher his church into the heavenly place, that where he is, there we may be also everlastingly. And he's your Savior. He's your Savior. You belong to him by a true and living faith. By faith, beloved people of God, by faith, take all of your sins of wandering, which have been exposed by the Word of God this morning, and now lay them at the altar of the cross of the one who suffered and died in body and soul to cover in the sight of God all that wandering, and have peace with God. And by faith receive the Holy Spirit. Through the proclamation of the gospel this morning, the Spirit, which is not a wandering spirit, but the very breath of God. So that if a man has the Spirit in his inner man, he cannot but pant hard after God. And it's by the power of that Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, that we can mortify the old wanderer within. And by the power of that Spirit, we say, God is my place. You say that with conviction this morning? Say that. God is my place. God is. Christ is my righteousness. And the life and the truth and the fellowship of the church, that is my place. To live within the boundaries of the law, that is my place. And to live serving God in the station in which he has put me, that is my place. With a grateful and content heart, to live in my home and to live my life for God, that is my place. And we live that way by the Spirit. And this week, as we hold our young adults retreat and have our theme, oh, how I love thy word, and seek to grow in our love and knowledge of the word of God. That word is the means that the Spirit uses to guide us, that we do not wander. And as we establish and strengthen friendships one with another, may the Spirit of Christ help us to encourage each other that one not wander and go astray. The answer to the folly of the text is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is ours by faith. And let us close then with the parting doxology of 1 Peter 5, verses 10 and 11. But the God of all grace, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, for thy wisdom, revealed in Jesus Christ and written so plainly in the letters of the text before us that even a child can understand, for indeed the divine scriptures are perspicuous. We understand the meaning. We do. And now we pray that the Spirit may bind the truth of the text to our hearts, so that we are very sorry for our wandering, and desire never to wander again. And by the power of thy Holy Spirit are led unto thee, that we may thirst and pant after thee, the living God. Grant it for all of us, O Lord, in thy grace. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.